I also want to mention that Prime Minister Blair was kind enough to record some additional remarks about his thinking about the blueprint to getting to a final global deal in Copenhagen, and those additional video remarks will be available on the Governor's Global Climate Summit.org website, and I encourage you to take a look at those. Now, before I introduce our co-host governors, please give me a moment to brag about them. Just 2 years ago, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed the Global Warming Solutions Act into law, setting California on the path to reduce greenhouse gases dramatically by 2020. And at that time, no other state had taken such action, and only two other states had any kind of a comprehensive plan to address greenhouse gases. Because of the work of the governors you are about to meet, and many more like them, I can report to you that today, just 2 years later, 33 states are on the path to reduce greenhouse gases equal to their obligations if they were separate countries under the Kyoto Protocol. 28 of those states have joined one of three regional cap-and-trade systems to harness the markets to reduce greenhouse gases even further. And 12 have passed their own global warming solutions laws. In short, because of these visionary leaders, the U.S. is already contributing to the solution of the climate change challenge. The truly inspiring thing to note about these leaders is that they all know the science and the urgency of acting now. So they have all been willing to cross boundaries, working with other states, provinces, and nations, as you will see here today. You will hear them discuss the climate solutions and new initiatives with distinguished leaders from the People's Republic of China, from Canada, from India, from Mexico, Brazil, Indonesia, and the European Union. And indeed, these bold leaders who you are about to meet did not just cross international boundaries, they crossed their own political party lines, Democrats and Republicans working together for the common good. They've done whatever it takes to meet this extraordinary challenge. And as we heard yesterday from President-elect Barack Obama, he is now committed to build on the bold foundation established by these leadership governors, slashing our greenhouse gases to 1990 levels by 2020 and a further 80% by the year 2050. As they will share with you today, they have also proven that reducing greenhouse gases, becoming energy efficient, and embracing renewables and clean technologies creates jobs and boosts the economy, something all of our nations need right now. So for all of these reasons, I'm proud to introduce to you five great governors, but also five remarkable men and women who were not content to follow their states, their nation. Indeed, they chose to lead. Governor Schwarzenegger was called to Sacramento this morning because of the special session of the legislature and his efforts to deal with California's budget. He will rejoin us later this afternoon. But this morning, please join me in welcoming our co-hosts, Kansas Governor Kathleen Sebelius, Florida Governor Charlie Crist, Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich, and from the state of my birth, Wisconsin Governor Jim Doyle.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us. And Terry, thank you for your very kind words of introduction for myself and my three esteemed colleagues. It is an honor and a pleasure to be here with you. And I want to thank all of you for your dedication to this most important cause. I wanted to just tell you a little bit about Florida. But before I do that, I wanted to express my heartfelt wishes to those who are suffering from the fires here in California, and thank the firefighters for the great work that they are doing. I signed three executive orders in July of 2007 to really embark Florida on this mission of trying to do better as it relates to climate change. And with that beginning, I think that we have come a long way in trying to improve how Florida is participating in this important discussion and this critical issue as it relates to the future of our planet. And I need to thank Terry Tomlin, Tamanin, for his great leadership in coming to see me in Tallahassee, Florida, less than a month after I got sworn in as the new governor in 2007. because of his leadership and his encouragement in describing to me how important it was to get moving. We have made some significant advancements. I look forward to discussing some of them with you, and in particular, the bipartisan nature of that progress that we've had in the Sunshine State. So with that, thank you very much for being here, and it's a pleasure to participate. God bless you.
Thank you. Governor Chris, thank you very much for your remarks, and it's a pleasure to be here with you. It's a pleasure to be here with Governor Sebelius and Governor Doyle. Governor Schwarzenegger, we were with him last night. He's been called to Sacramento to deal with some of his legislative leaders. He'll be back as soon as he possibly can. I must confess that it's always kind of nice to know that you're not alone. I'm not the only governor who has a problem with his legislative leaders. In fact, it's good to see the rest of you, because we have something, I think, in common. We also have a lot in common when it comes to caring about the future of the planet and the world we live in. And as I said last night, I feel honored to be able to play a role as a governor of a significant state, joining governors from other significant states and coming together with California and Florida, with Kansas and Wisconsin and Illinois, and doing what the environmentalists say we ought to do, and that is to think globally but act locally and put together the power of our states in the country, the United States, which is arguably the most influential in the world, joining with leaders from around the world to address a very serious challenge that confronts all of us. Today, the planet that we live in is more than 1 degree warmer than it was back in 1988. And if present trends continue, and if we don't do anything about this, over the next century, the temperature of the planet Earth will increase by 3 to 7 degrees. The polar ice caps are melting. The snows on Mount Kilimanjaro are melting. The level of the oceans are rising while the shorelines are receding. These are challenges that confront all of us who live wherever we may live, and it is incumbent upon us to come together and seriously address this problem. If we don't, it will only get worse. But if we do, we can change things. Back in 1960, 40% of our rivers and streams and lakes were considered unsafe for things like drinking water or swimming or fishing. But then when Rachel Carson wrote her famous book, Silent Spring, and raised the consciousness of an issue like that, the U.S. Congress acted, and in the 1960s passed two Clean Water Acts. Today, those lakes and rivers and streams, nearly double, are now in a place where they're safe to be used by people for swimming and drinking and fishing. Our air back in 1960, more than 130 million tons of pollutants discharged into the air, things like carbon monoxide and lead and mercury. But then, because the Congress saw that issue and acted and passed the Clean Air Act, now those discharges have been reduced by about a half. President Kennedy said that man's problems are man-made, and therefore man can solve his own problems. The course of history tells us that we can solve this problem too, if we act. And so I'm delighted to be here to be able to play as big a role as possible. And if you stop and think about what we're engaged in, all of us working together to save our planet and to build a better future for our children, it's something worth fighting for. I remember being a schoolboy in class, and I remember not exactly being at the top of the class and sitting in class, and I remember a girl that used to sit in the front row. She was probably not unusual. Probably every school had someone like her. She was the smartest in the school. She always came to school all neatly dressed, sat in the front row, had her hands folded, and when the teacher would call on us to ask us whether or not we can respond to the homework she gave us the night before, she'd call on me from time to time. I never want to make eye contact with that teacher because I didn't do my homework, and if she were to ask me the question, I wouldn't know it. Invariably, she did. I gave her the wrong answer, and then at some point she'd settle in on that girl who sat in the front row. She always had the right answer. And I remember one day the teacher said, we're going to have career day, and I'd like to ask all of you, what would you like to do when you all grow up? She asked the little boy in the front row, his name was Tony, what do you want to be? He said, I want to be an auto mechanic. And she went around the classroom. Some said they wanted to be school teachers and nurses. Some said they wanted to be doctors and police officers. I said I wanted to be a major league ball player. And then the teacher went to her favorite student and asked, Mary, what would you like to be? And she said, Miss Kelly, I want to change the world. Well, we have grown up, and those of us who are governors are fortunate enough to be in a place where we can literally change the world. And working with all of you to address climate change and bring that issue in a place where it ought to be, we can change the world, we can save the world, and we can really do what those of us in politics often say we want to do. We can leave the world a better place for our children. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Kathleen Sebelius, governor of the great state of Kansas, right in the heartland of America. And like my colleagues up here, I'm very pleased that Governor Schwarzenegger organized this international forum to discuss one of the critical issues facing us as a world, climate change, and engaged us in a dialogue on international collaboration and cooperation. And I'm pleased to join fellow governors, Governor Crist from Florida, Governor Blagojevich from Illinois, Governor Schwarzenegger from California, Governor Doyle from Wisconsin, because I think that in America recently, a lot of activity has gone on at the state level. Governors joining together across party lines, but in regional groups to try and move this dialogue forward. I'm very pleased that we were able to hear from President-elect Obama yesterday in his video presentation, and he made it very clear that this is a top priority of his. And as he looks at his presidency, knows that re-engaging America in this international dialogue will be a priority. What has been missing in this country, and we struggle with it as governors each and every day, is a coherent national policy, a direction that we can work in across state lines. So as we do our work state by state, and in Kansas, we've had some interesting discussion and dialogue on the future of coal-fired plants, on harnessing our great prairie winds, which blow across Kansas, on being good stewards of the earth and remembering our rich heritage, taking care of this planet. We look forward to having a federal partnership once again where states and our colleagues in Washington and in the White House work together and then reengaging on an international stage. So this is a very important discussion and dialogue, a great opportunity for us to share best practices and opportunities for the future. And I just delighted to be here. I know a lot of our colleagues could not physically be with us today, but certainly share the goals that we will be describing. Last year's initiative at the National Governors Association was securing a clean energy future. Again, it was a very bipartisan dialogue and one that governors take very seriously. So we're just delighted to be part of the conversation today and see this as a great prologue to the meeting in Poland and later in Copenhagen and re-engaging our country and our states and our local municipalities in, as Rod just said so eloquently, doing our part in changing the world.
I'm Jim Doyle, the governor of Wisconsin, and I am very pleased and honored to be here to join my esteemed colleagues, Governors Crist, Blagojevich, and Sebelius, great leaders from whom we in Wisconsin have borrowed a great deal, and we thank them for the innovation. I want to especially thank Governor Schwarzenegger and all those in California for this this summit, and as well as the leadership that's been shown. We are very proud in Wisconsin of the steps that we have taken together with many other states in this country. As our national policy has really sort of wavered on this, I think you find states in the United States that are resolute, understand that the science is clear, understand that the need for action is now, and understand that we must engage with the world community to make sure that we do what we can to help this planet. But in addition to that, I see the efforts to combat global warming as just an incredible opportunity for my state, the other states of the United States, and all across the world. The chance for research and innovation, the answers, many of the answers we don't yet know, but they will be found in laboratories and research institutions all over this world. At the University of Wisconsin, we are building a $150 million dollar research center in bioenergy. We are working to harness the power and the energy that is locked in our forests and in our agricultural lands, and we are working to spur innovation. In Wisconsin, we make cheese, and for you Californians, I just want you to know we make more cheese than you do in California, and we make better cheese than you do in California, and our cows are happier in Wisconsin than they are in California. But I recently went to a little cheese plant that you'll see all over the state of Wisconsin, a rural crossroads, and there was a little cheese plant that was there. What was different between that and the hundreds of others of these small plants that have been there for 100 years in Wisconsin is that in this plant, a very, very innovative engineer who had come through the cheese business had developed a process to distill ethanol from the waste product of the cheese-making operation, from whey. And so in the cheese operation, the end product was not cheese, the end product was ethanol. And this individual had even created his own little distribution system. And he went to the local gas stations all in that rural area of Wisconsin and was selling his ethanol that was being blended there at those stations. Now, those of you who know us in Wisconsin know we wear cheese on our heads when we watch football games. But we are also going to be the only state in the country where we will drive our cars on cheese as well. But so it is this kind of incredible innovation, the opportunity to create great jobs, to unlock the entrepreneurial spirit, to create an economy in this country and in this world that is based on the production of clean energy. It doesn't get much better than that, to build an economy around making the planet a better place. And so that really is... that is our challenge, and it has so much has been going on in the states that are represented here and by our colleagues as well in other states of the United States. And with Kathleen and the other governors, I really look forward to the new day in the United States where we have a clear national energy policy that we as states will come behind, will support, and will unlock through great research and technology and innovation answers that will save this planet. Thank you all very much.